My name is Nicole Pucci, and you're listening to Ralph Pucci, the podcast. This season, we've spoken with many Pucci collaborators, and before the COVID-19 pandemic struck New York and the world more generally, we were releasing these in-person conversations weekly. The past 6 weeks have been very different for us, as I'm sure they've been for you too. While we've had to shut down our locations in New York City, Miami, and LA, we're still doing a ton behind the scenes to emerge stronger and better as soon as we're allowed to reopen for business. Our newest artist, Stephan Bishop, installed a breathtaking exhibition in our LA space a couple of weeks ago, and in this episode, Ralph and I are introducing him to our Pucci audience. His work is extraordinary, and his path to where he is today is unique and inspiring. I hope you enjoy today's conversation, which we just recorded over Zoom. We hope to bring you more as soon as possible. Stephan and Ralph, thank you so much for taking the time to talk today. We are in some crazy times, and I'm grateful that both of you are, you know, agreeable to doing a Zoom podcast. Hopefully this will all work out well, but good afternoon to you both. And Ralph, do you want to say a couple words about Stephan?
Well, welcome, Stephan. I'm so excited, A, to see you. I haven't seen you in a long time. Unfortunately, I wasn't there when you did your installation of your tremendous show in LA. So welcome to this podcast and welcome to Pucci.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And thanks to both of you for doing this, setting this up for us. It was pretty uneventful, which was great. Everything went smooth for the most part. So. It went in nice, and it was just amazing to see it in the space. I'm honored, truly, so thank you.
Well, the show is just monumental. I am so excited for us. It's really fresh work. I cannot wait that people could go back outside and enter our showroom to see what you have created, because it's really special. Congratulations.
Awesome. Thank you very much. I'm really excited for when people get to see it in person, too.
Yeah, fabulous.
It's exciting times. Hopefully it'll be before too long. But Stephan, how are you and your family holding up during this pandemic?
We are healthy. So, you know, first and foremost, that's key. Everything has changed slightly, but, you know, we're comfortable and healthy, and that's good. I mean, my wife takes the brunt of things, being at home with our 7-year-old boy, who is just a truckload of energy all day long. I get to escape to my studio, which I'm still doing daily. And it's very quiet here. My guys aren't coming in, so it's just me. And it reminds me a lot of my first few years here when it was just me. At times, it's a little too solitary, which I think we're all feeling. But it's also the quiet and the solitude is really nice. I mean, sinking into my work in a different way is actually, I'm kind of appreciating it. So I'm fortunate. I have this. I'm still able to come to work by myself and do my thing. Overall, we're doing well through the chaos.
Fantastic. When I walked in your studio, I was blown away. And the response, you know, we were running some images of your studio on Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the response has been really great. I mean, some of the comments, I mean, it's nice. it's powerful stuff.
Yeah, it's a beautiful space I have. I mean, I lucked out finding just a really sort of, it's old, it's built in the 20s, big old brick building, has a nostalgic, romantic quality to it. The light's amazing with these big sunroofs. So, I love showing it off. It's great when I get to have people come by because it's a nice space. Yeah.
Super cool.
Thanks.
So, Stephan, how has your routine changed? You said you're still working away, but by yourself. What does your day look like these days as compared to what it looked like a couple months ago?
Well, my hours are significantly shorter just because I am home a lot more trying to maintain our boy. And just that it's just me, everything is just the whole pace has slowed. And again, it's kind of nice. I mean, when I'm here, trying to keep two or three guys busy and wrangle all the other stuff of managing whatever office stuff needs to be done or any other logistics, things can get a little bit frantic. So the pace of my days, I'm really enjoying. But other than that, things haven't changed that much. I'm getting, you know, I'm getting into it a little bit more with my hands than I have been, just because my guys aren't here to do the heavy lifting for me.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So the show that you installed a couple weeks ago at Pucci was just extraordinary. The pieces are remarkable. I can't wait to see them in person. Tell us a little bit about the pieces and about the process that you took in order to come up with the ideas in each of the different works.
Sure. The show that we installed in LA, as well as a bunch of new pieces that I have in process that we'll hopefully install in New York when things have stabilized there, I'm focusing on two sort of series or bodies of work. One of them is called coalescent, which is an adjective, and it means increasing in heat or warmth or something that is getting hotter is coalescent. And actually, Ralph, you were somewhat instrumental in me coming up with that idea and that name for the body of work. When you were here visiting, you first saw a couple of the pieces. You made a comment. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was something about how they looked like the texture was stacked blocks of burnt or charred embers or coal or something like that. And since there is a process in that we use in finishing the work, we actually burn the entire piece. It got me thinking about this concept, working with the heat, and that's how I came up with the name coalescent. So this line is very rugged and draws on some archetypal imagery found in nature, like most of my work does. This has sort of an almost jagged cliff face or stacked rocks. But very weathered, with a somewhat, I hope, kind of a timeless quality to it. That like rocks that have been softened slightly. We start with laminating lots of really big boards together, and then it's all carved by hand by me with a chainsaw, which is what gives it this sort of rugged, jagged quality. And all that is softened. The texture ultimately is softened and finessed with the burning process and a bunch of buffing and everything else. It's stained, finally stained with an India ink finish and either a varnish or a wax top coat to sort of seal it all. The second line, I also titled with an adjective, zoetic, which is, it describes something that is vital or living. And so the forms that I've created are, I wanted them to have some kind of an aliveness, some kind of creature element to them. Also, you know, drawing on images found in nature, but something a little bit more animate than the coalescence series. And also just expressed in an abstract way. So they have lots of mass and weight to them, but they're very flowing and soft lines and subtle curves and direction. So we also start with these by laminating a whole bunch of small individual pieces of wood, but done in a different way. Instead of just stacking them up, each piece is cut at a particular angle and then glued and bolted to the previous piece, which sort of grows in a sort of serpentine fashion, the final shape. And so an individual piece, like I was just thinking, there's a mirror in the show. It's a large mirror. I think it's almost 100 inches long total. So it's a big piece, but it's made up of roughly 140 individual segments of wood that are all glued and bolted together. And then the entire thing is shaped with a number of hand tools, starting with a chainsaw, but then down to grinders and sanders to give this final shape that we...
Stefan, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
You know, we love sculpture at Pucci, and we love, you know, furniture that sort of borderlines on art. What artists have influenced you? I mean, I personally see the work of Tony Craig, or maybe even touches of Anthony Gormley in your work. Do you respond? Yeah.
Sure, absolutely, both. It's funny, I've had certain artists inspire me throughout my life, but what's interesting is the artwork itself doesn't inspire me. Let's see if I can say this correctly. It's like, I don't see something like a Crag piece or something, and I think I want to make something like that. But what inspires me is the way that works, and definitely by the artist you mentioned, will affect me. And I strive to make work that impacts people in the same way.
It makes a lot of sense. Can these pieces go outside?
Not the wood ones, but wood is my medium because that's what I trained in. That's what I first fell in love with. But I love all things. I would love to see all of them equally made out of any kind of alloy metal, a bronze or an aluminum or a steel or even stone. Anything that could go outside would be fantastic. So, you know, my greater vision and dream is to hopefully make a number of things that can be put outside.
Yeah, because the sculptural piece that we have, you know, the anchor that anchors the back area of the entrance, boy, yeah, that would look just incredible outside. And I see a lot of opportunity because our clients do like outdoor sculpture. We've had some great success with some of our designers, and I see you being successful with that too.
Yeah, I would love to do that. I especially because with a piece of that scale, you know, it's not too many spaces, particularly in New York, can house something like that inside. But hopefully, we can find, you know, good applications for it outside.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It would be really cool. Going back just a couple minutes in our conversation, Stefan, last time we spoke, you had a really wonderful story about Marfa and your experience there. And I was wondering if you could touch on that.
Yeah. Well, speaking of artists that inspired me.
Yeah.
I first discovered woodworking, I think I was 20 years old. I randomly took an introduction to woodworking class at California College of Arts. I was in their architecture program, but I took this elective and it just blew my mind. It was like when I discovered the wood shop and working with wood, I felt like there was a bomb of energy had gone off inside me. I just had this total love with it immediately, and I lost interest in anything else, really. Like architecture went by the wayside immediately, and academics honestly did also. But so being in this wood shop, I got exposed to a lot of furniture masters, and Donald Judd was one of them. And talk about blowing my mind! Like I was sort of floored by the restraint and the beauty of his furniture. His sculptural work and all of his architectural stuff, everything was amazing, but his furniture just floored me. And so I finally made, you know, my pilgrimage to Marfa, but it was only, it was only like 6 or 7 years ago, I forget. And it was awesome to see all of this work that I'd only seen in books for years. And it was really impactful, but what jumped out at me, what was really a monumental experience when I was there, was we were wandering around looking at Donald Judd all day long. And then we walked into the permanent John Chamberlain exhibit, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks, and I just started to weep. And so when I say again, like if I was to, you know, be striving for something in terms of being inspired by artists, it would be to affect people on that kind of a level, that gut level, that where my nervous system is affected, pre-thought, pre-verbal, pre any explanation, but just a total emotional experience. I had seen John Chamberlain in books plenty of times, and to me, they were just, you know, crumpled up cars. And then somehow being in the room with them had just a tremendous impact on me. And it shifted me to a large degree. So I guess it does affect where I go with things when I see things, because some of the organic shapes and some of the movement that are in those pieces definitely started to affect where I went with my design and my artwork next.
You know, I didn't put that together, but now that you say it, I can see that. I see a sort of a thread there. Yeah, fabulous.
Yeah, it was fascinating.
So, Stefan, you had a really sort of interesting foray back into furniture. You studied it in college and worked in the furniture realm for a while, sculpture furniture, but your path wasn't exactly straight. Can you tell us a little bit about sort of where you went after college and how you landed up where you are today?
Yeah, it was interesting. It wasn't linear at all. Like I said, when I discovered woodworking, it was this passionate, very, very passionate experience where I loved it so much. And anywhere that I would see wood, it just became full of potential energy for me. Like I knew there was something in there that needed to be born. And so I left art school and I apprenticed with a couple furniture masters, one in Berkeley and one in Chicago. And I learned my chops in terms of, you know, woodworking skills. But what I didn't learn was the creative process. I didn't really learn how to figure out what it is that needs to be born out of the wood that I so desperately wanted to work with. And I really struggled with it for years. Because I would sit down and rack my brain trying to think of, well, I've got all this skill to make things. What am I going to make? And it was difficult. I did make some art furniture in my early 20s. And it's actually, that was when I took some pieces to the ICFF, and that was where I saw Chris Larrick's work for the first time and actually discovered Pucci. But I had moved from Chicago to Los Angeles, and it was so stressful and difficult for me trying the creative process, trying to figure out what I wanted to make, that I kind of gave up on it. And I had almost convinced myself for a number of years that being creative was just not my thing. It was just too difficult. It was too arduous. And I went on and I did a bunch of things, a lot of them in the furniture realm. I engineered and developed prototypes for some large furniture manufacturers. I worked designing interiors, hospitality interiors for a couple of years. Then I got into real estate. I did a bunch of other things. But I didn't get back into it until I had made a bunch of money and lost a bunch of money in real estate. And I was sort of floundering, trying to figure out what to do next. Hadn't thought of making things or being in the art or furniture world at all in over a decade. But my wife was away on retreat, and I had given myself a bunch of time off, just a lot of space to sort of reflect on things and see what percolated and what came up. And when my wife was gone and I had a couple weeks to myself in our house, And I tried to give myself as much time as possible, really to not do anything, mostly just meditating a lot during the day, relaxing and seeing what happened. And one evening, very late at night, in the middle of the night, I was just struck by this epiphany. And out of nowhere, for the first time in years, image after image just flooded my mind of sculptural work and furniture work. And I couldn't sketch things fast enough. I was like frantically looking for scraps of paper, and pens that worked well. And I just drew on any surface I could find for hours. And that was the beginning of what I started here in my studio, a little over 8 years ago now. After that night, I think it was only 2 months before I had, set my studio up and started making things. And I must say my inspiration at the time was, my thought was, man, if I could connect with Ralph Pucci, that would be the place to go to be.
Well, you connected. It took 8 years, but we did it. And I can't tell you, we're very excited. We're very, very excited. And it's quite a story. Most of the people I work with have been doing their thing, you know, since they were 20 years old, 15, 16 years old, you know, as a kid. And your journey to where you ended up is very unique.
Yeah. Well, I had to find my voice, and I had to discover like I said, this creative process, which I had not been taught. I'd been taught all the technical skill, but I didn't know how to let things happen creatively. And for me, that happens in a few ways. One is sort of like what I described, which is giving myself lots of space, time to relax and open up and let go and see what comes up. But it's really a matter of, stepping aside or putting aside my critical thinking mind and getting a little bit more, letting the subconscious come forward. And that can happen meditating or about when I'm about to fall asleep, but it can also happen, and it largely happens when I'm in the process of actually making things. If I'm fully immersed in it, in my zone, and I've got my headphones on and my goggles and my respirator and my gloves, and I'm grinding away at something, that is one of the best ways for me to sort of, like I said, step aside from the thinking mind, and that's when shapes and forms and textures and colors and things start to really come out, and that's when my juices start to flow. So there's a lot of different ways I can find that, but it took me a while to discover that. And like I said, I had written off being creative at all, and it was just dormant.
That's something. I love seeing you with that chainsaw. I love George Bassett's, you know, those big gigantic.
Sure.
I'm going to push you. Once we get off the ground and we're rolling along sometime, I'm going to push you to go in that direction. It could be fun.
That's great. Chainsaws are my favorite. I grew up, my early years were in the country in Oregon. And my dad, he was like this class. He worked for the U.S. Forest Service. We were very remote and mostly on a homestead, disconnected from the civilized world. But my dad, for some income, worked for the U.S. Forest Service. And he was like the lumberjack with the big, you know, knee-high boots and the red suspenders and the tin hard hat with the big rim and a chainsaw and an axe. That was like the tools of his trade. And I watched him working in the forest, cutting down huge trees. And also do a lot of carpentry, building things on our property. But I think that somehow, I mean, I don't know exactly how, what it is, but I've loved chainsaws. It's like one of the weird things that I have a material sort of desire for. Like, I don't care much about the car I drive or anything like that, but I really like a nice chainsaw.
Oh, fantastic. Love that.
That's awesome. So, Stefan, you've obviously learned a lot of lessons in the past 8 or so years, and you've been on a big journey. What are some of those major lessons you've learned, either about creativity or, running your own business?
Well, I mean, sort of what I described earlier in terms of being creative, I'm guessing it's individual for everybody, but finding a way to let your particular language come out, finding a way to tap into that is essential. And maybe that's just me individually, but I cannot sit down at a desk and think of a project and try to solve it like a puzzle. It's just not the way I work. Some people, I think, obviously are fantastic at that. So, but for me, finding my language was really important. And in terms of the business, it's funny because I think I have to remind myself often that I am running a business, right? Because it's not, I don't think of myself as a business person or a businessman in any way. I'm just an artist. But I think every artist on some level has to come to grips with the fact that there is a business side of things, and that there are decisions to be made. And I can say that I have definitely many times made decisions that are clearly not the best business decision, in that there's not a timely and strategic return on my investment, right? But I don't always care, and I have to just go with it sometimes. But so there's a constant balancing of that impulsive energy and that inspiration, and then the much more pragmatic side of things, which, you know, to me can be a little tedious and boring, but that's what actually, you know, helps make things profitable. So it's a balance, and I'm constantly trying to figure it out for myself, you know, that staying true to my passion and taking care of things at the same time.
Stefan, how many people do you have in your work studio?
Well, I was just two guys. one that's been with me for a number of years, and then one just started. I'm just really fortunate. Finding the right people is just essentially, and I have a main guy, Matt Ostrell, who's been with me for quite a while now, and he's just the best. So it's really a pretty simple operation. I'm very hands-on.
Yeah.
And if I get to the next level, I will probably still continue to be hands-on, because while I'll bring in more help in my shop, I'll mostly bring in more help to deal with the business side of things, because my real strengths are being creative and being in the shop. And like I said, working with my hands is one of the best ways to sort of keep all the juices flowing.
Right.
It's so clear that you have such a passion for the work that you're doing and actually being in the studio, getting your hands dirty. Besides working, how would you describe your perfect day? What else would you do in the hours that you have available?
Yeah, right. My perfect work day is always just when I get to just make things all day. I can enjoy some of the office work, but usually it's the making. And my off days, perfect days are anything that is with my family, and usually the more of it, the better. I love family. So, and it can be anything. We could be farting around the house, making snacks, watching movies. We can be going to the beach or going on a hike, going on a bike ride. Doesn't matter. It's all about family for me.
How many years have you been married?
I just celebrated my 10th anniversary in January. And so we have my 7-year-old boy. My daughter is 15. She lives in New York. One of the difficulties with our current situation is that I'm not sure when she's going to be back to visit us. So she's usually here for all the holidays and summer break and everything, but we're not sure what that schedule is going to look like right now.
Yeah, all those unknowns are difficult. A lot of uncertainty right now.
So much.
Hope it's before too long. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. Me too.
So, Stefan, I'm curious to know, before we finish up, if you have any final words of wisdom or advice for someone just trying to enter the field.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I mean, words of wisdom implies that I'm somehow wise. I'm still grappling with that one. But yeah, finding your own vision is key. And I think that's key for sort of any profession. So not only finding your own vision in your own language, but finding how to generate that. I keep getting back to this theme, because I think that can be different for other people. But once you find that way, hopefully you're able to. And I think actually I'll sidestep and say, not, you know, don't get overly concerned with trying to be different, trying to find something that nobody else has done before. I think sort of naturally, we all make things that nobody else has done before, just the way that we're all different. We all, like, in the way that we all have different handwriting. Even if we're trying to make the same thing, things come out different. But once you find that way of generating your vision and finding your language and starts to come out of it, just do your best to act on it and stay with it, stay true to it, and work.
Well said. Well said.
Thanks.
Well, we are super excited, Stefan, to have you at Pucci. You know, we haven't had a new designer artist come in quite some time. And
yeah.
for you to come in and during this crazy time, I think is only going to make our relationship that much stronger and better, because we're going to obviously have to work harder to get your work into, you know, become visible to a lot of these, or to our clients. But the work is so strong, so powerful, it is going to be a success, and congratulations again.
Well, thanks so much. Your support and enthusiasm around it just means the world to me. You've just been such on a pedestal for me for so long as a visionary in this field. So this is a dream come true opportunity, really, and I'm incredibly grateful.
Fantastic.
Thanks so much for listening to today's conversation with Stefan Bishop. We hope that you enjoyed learning more about him, and we can't wait to welcome you to our spaces to see his work as soon as possible. Until then, please check out his work via our website, www.ralphpucci.com or Stefan's at stefanbishop.net. You can also check out our Instagram at ralphpucciint or Stefan's at stefanbishop. Thanks so much, and stay tuned for more content soon.